This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report podcast. It's my pleasure today to interview Dr. Doug Weiss of Heart to Heart Counseling Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. He's well known in Christian circles, and he's written a new book that I think will minister to many of my listeners. It's How to Parent a Prodigal. Now, we all know the story of the prodigal son, and many of us, unfortunately, have prodigals in our family. So you do not want to miss this conversation with Dr. Doug Weiss.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Welcome back, everyone, and welcome to you, Dr. Weiss. You and I have known each other a long time, since the late 90s at least. I'd have to count on my fingers, I think, to see how long that's been. And you have written so many books. And when I found out about this book, it really piqued my interest because, sadly, I have a prodigal in my family. What do you tell parents how to parent any prodigal they have in their home?
Well, the book is called The Prodigal Parent Process because it's really about what the parents go through. You know, I mean, I've been in church, you know, for over 35 years, and I have never heard a sermon on what the father went through. You know, we just hear the story. He ran down the driveway and everything's great. You know, this kid went away for months, maybe years, drinking and prostitutes and, you know, losing all this money and stuff like that. And there's not a lot of teaching on how do you go through the process of hurt and anger and grief and loss and trauma that here's this child that you raised, you know, reading the Bible to, taking them to church, taking them to youth group, they're raising their hands, they're you know, operating the gifts of the Spirit, and then all of a sudden they're out, they're drunk and drugs and sex and crazy new age stuff. Like, how did that all happen? And we could talk about that in a minute, but then how does a parent actually go through this? Because short of infidelity, this is probably one of the biggest traumas people are going to deal with in their life if their kid walks away in such a way that is so self-destructive and then so harming to the whole family, because the prodigal doesn't just affect the parents, it affects the siblings as well.
Boy, that's interesting. You don't think about that, although it makes me think of a corny joke. Am I allowed to joke on my own podcast?
I think so.
I think this came from Pastor Jack Hayford, so that makes it a little bit spiritual.
Totally.
The joke is that the Sunday school teacher asked these little kids, or was telling the story about the prodigal son, and said, who was most unhappy to see the prodigal son come home? And the little kid said, the fatted calf. And
right.
I just thought that there was a whole series of little jokes, you know, of how little kids misunderstand anything. But really, you know, we know about the older brother, of course, and what the younger son went through.
But he's misrepresented. Hopefully we get to talk to him about him, because I've never heard a sermon that actually portrays him well. He's always portrayed as self-righteous. He's always portrayed as a Pharisee. He's always portrayed in some way that really, you know, I'm a psychologist. So, and I'm also, you know, I've got my degrees in Bible and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, when you look, a parent's love is unconditional. You're going to love your kids no matter what. They go to jail, you're still going to love them. Okay? They end up with all kinds of weird stuff in their life, you're still going to love them, because that's parents' unconditional love. Siblings' love is not unconditional.
Interesting.
Right? We all have siblings, and some of them we like, some of them we relate to, some of them we don't.
Right.
And you know what's interesting is, you know, this guy, so you look at the and this is the chapter in this book on this subject. You know, here's the good boy who stays home. His workload doubles because his younger brother just left town with half of the inheritance. So he goes off with his horses and ponies, and he's out drinking and doing prostitutes because the older brother knew what the younger brother was doing before he left. You know, sometimes your siblings know what's going on before the parents do. So he knew what he was going to do. So he's home. He's doing a good job. But he also has to watch his dad cry and pray for weeks and months or maybe years until this boy comes back home. So he not only sees the pain of the son leaving, but he sees the pain of the father and then carrying that pain. His workload's increased. And siblings, they don't get excited the first time the drunk comes home.
You're right.
He goes, oh, great, he's home. Let's see if he actually stays home. Let's see if he actually shows up at work tomorrow. Let's see, you know, if this actually sticks for a while before, as his brother, I'm going to trust him. You know, and so we sometimes, you know, rush to judgment on that other brother. And it's like, no, he was just kind of being a brother. Like, you know, dude, seriously, let's just see if this guy grows up. See if he learned anything on the road before I get excited about, like, him being here. Because so far, it's not that exciting for me.
Well, that's what's interesting about you, at least in my opinion. And this is in many of the things that you've written over the years. You always have a very, very interesting perspective. And, you know, I'd never even really thought about the fact that I'd never heard a sermon on some of these things. But, you know, a lot of my listeners, of course, would be in the ministry. And, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of times pastors will do research on books if they're going to preach on grace. Of course, you know, they look in different books about grace. And really, there are pastors, hopefully, that will get ideas to make some of these points that you're talking about. I think this is very, very important. And I think here at Charisma Media, we'll do some articles online or do different things to, you know, link back to your ministry, because this is so important. In fact, especially it seems lately that even kids raised in the church, I guess this is true of every generation, but it's more lately that, you know, it used to be that if you could keep them from going off to a secular university, you know, they would maybe continue with the values they grew up with. But now you can't even keep them. It's just the culture pulls them away. Mm-hmm. It's not just secular university. It's just everywhere.
Well, there's a huge falling away in young people. And, you know, this book actually got birthed kind of in a very peculiar way. You know, Chris Hodges, and Chris called me and said, Doug, I have a pastor friend of mine who's got a huge church, and but he's dying. Him and his wife are dying. They have a son who's acting out in, you know, kind of perverse kind of ways, and it's really killing them. And would you see them? I know that's not what you normally do. I said, well, it's not what I normally do, but Chris, it's you, so I'll do it. Well, that whole week, God gave me so much revelation to give compassion to these hurting ministers whose son was acting out in the way he was. And by the time they left, they were able to not blame themselves, not blame each other. And I just walk them through the scriptures, and I'll give you that in a second, and be able to heal from some of the anger and the trauma, and then be able to have good boundaries with this young man. And, you know, I just talked to them recently, and they're doing amazing. It was life-changing for them just to have the Word of God change their paradigms, because parents, you know, like, we believe in, you know, cause and effect a lot in Christianity. You know, if you tithe, God's going to bless you financially. You know, if you keep the rules, you're going to have a good life. You know, basically, we believe in cause and effect. But parenting is not a cause and effect, you know, because of free will, right? So you can have these drunk parents who have a fourth grade education and as moral as a rat, and get a pastor or a prophet or an apostle out of that family. You can have an apostle, prophet, pastor group of people who are raising their kids with the Bible, doing everything right, and their kid ends up in some kind of wacko field, you know, really off, because parenting is a free will experiment. And it's a roll of the dice what they're going to do with their will. And no matter what kind of parent you are, you can't control the will of the other person.
You're right about that. That's interesting insight.
Parents blame themselves. They blame themselves. Oh, I didn't go to enough games, or I worked too hard if that's the guy, or I didn't say enough nice things if I'm the mom. And then what happens, and I talk about this in the book, is that if that doesn't work, they start blaming each other. And that's where the marriage gets in trouble. No matter if they're in ministry or not, there's this kind of grudge that you didn't do it enough, or you didn't do it right. Because if you did, our kid wouldn't be out making a fool of themselves. Well, it's not true, because God is really good God, and he created a perfect environment, perfect food, right? And both of his kids were prodigals.
You're right.
So he's 100% failure as a parent.
And you know, when you say that about a prophet, I know a prophet. I don't need to say his name, but he's fairly well known. And he shared this publicly. It's not widely known, and you'll understand why in a minute. But his mother actually shot his father to defend herself from, you know, some kind of attack. Mm-hmm. Now, that's pretty bizarre. And here he is, a prophet of God.
Oh, yeah. So it's amazing, you know, that it works both ways. So someone listening to me, if you have a prodigal, I don't want you to blame yourself. you have to understand the prodigal parent process, what you're going through, and understand the process of the prodigal, which we'll talk about in a minute. It's independent of your parenting. You know, and really the whole idea of this project, we have a video and a workbook, it's for churches to start support groups for these parents, because in every church, someone just told me there was an altar call at their church for prodigal's parents, and like half the church came down.
Wow.
I mean, that's how prevalent this is, and it's a silent plague. And here's the thing, you're hurting parents, and eventually you stop going to church because you can't talk about your kid, and you can't feel like you're doing it right, you know, and all this kind of stuff, where as opposed to doing that, if we can get them in a room and say, hey, here's your process, let's pray for one another. And, you know, if you have 10 couples praying for the same prodigal, that's pretty powerful. You know, as opposed to doing this isolated, I'm in pain and I don't know what to do. You know, my daughter's out, you know, prostituting, or she's doing drugs, or my son's, you know, out, he's doing all kinds of immoral behavior, and, you know, he's leading these groups and all kinds of weird things, and what do I do? You know, I just talked to someone else, and they said, you know, when they're on the prayer team, and 30-40% of their prayer requests in their prayer ministry in their local church is pray for my son or daughter.
Wow.
I mean, this is huge. This is a huge issue. And when I did research on this, there's like nothing out there for the parents.
Well, I'm glad you did this. Now there's a book. And actually, you know, one of the easiest ways to try to get counseling, shall I say, is to find a book. You know, many people do this on many different topics. It's, you know, it's a private experience. Nobody knows you're reading it. A lot of people would not be able to be in the kind of group you're talking about. So a first step would be to find your book and just glean from it whatever they can, the insights you're talking about, or maybe just encouragement. And, you know, the purpose of doing a podcast like this, other than, you know, trying to give people good content, of course, is to get people to buy this book. So the name of the book, and we'll say this again at the end of the podcast, is The Prodigal Parent Process. And there's even a website, theprodigalparentprocess.com, where you can go and buy it. Or most people find it easiest to go on Amazon.com, of course. And I just encourage people to get this, as I will. I haven't seen the book yet. You know, sometimes you have to do an interview like this when you haven't seen it. But you and I have been friends for so long. You and I could talk about just about anything, couldn't we?
Probably so. But this is good, because there's also a video and workbook. So if they do stay at home and do it by themselves, they can actually work through the concepts and really heal. You know, because, you know, that's what I do. You know, people fly from all over and they get counseling and they come for 5 days. And we see people heal. And healing from the trauma of the betrayal of your son or your daughter is huge. And it really is. And I'm talking to a lot of grandparents, too, because, you know, when we started this project, I didn't even think about how grandparents carry some of the pain of little Johnny or little Susie, who is a raging addict of some kind or out of control, because they helped raise little Johnny and Susie. You know, and they feel the same kind of trauma and betrayal and pain that this prodigal is causing. But I'd like to talk about the actual prodigal process for a minute, if I can, Steve, because I think it really helps.
Please do.
When you go to Romans chapter 1, okay, and it talks about, you know, first they reject God as God, right? And that's where the prodigal process is. It's between God and each individual soul. And we either acknowledge him and worship him as God, or we suffer the consequences of not doing so. And the consequences are outlined. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, right there in Romans, in Romans chapter 1. You know, first, you know, their mind becomes confused. Their heart becomes darkened. So the way they think doesn't make sense. The way they feel about things doesn't make sense. The choices they make doesn't make sense. Then it continues down the road where they get into immoral behavior and stuff like that. And so what happens is you can see this prodigal process actually happening. Now, the good news is, I mean, you know what I do. Most of the time I work with, you know, sexual addiction and people who fall morally. And so they're at the bottom of that, and they actually move all the way back up, and they're fully restored. And their mind is clear up. Their heart's clear up. They worship God. They go back to their ministry or calling. And so the prodigal process is basically our walk with God, regardless who your parents are.
Boy, that's interesting.
And so you're powerless over your kids.
Yeah.
You know, no matter who you are, you know, I'm powerless over both of my kids. Now, they're both following the Lord, and I'm thankful. But if they choose to do a left turn, I remember one time I was walking back with the pool from Jubal. I said, now, if you ever go off, you're not going to be able to blame me or your mom because we're great. You're just going to be an idiot. And he just looked at me and I said, if you ever need counseling, it's your own fault.
You right? called your own boy an idiot.
I mean, because, you know, seriously, you have a good life, right? You don't. But sometimes even Adam and Eve had a good life, right?
Yeah.
But they wanted something different. And the prodigal goes after the different. And sometimes we blame their friends. And sometimes we blame the girlfriend or the boyfriend who kind of moved them further away. But they made the choice to walk away. And in the book, I talk about how to pray and how to do these things so that you're not trying to, like, manipulate God. You know, even in the prodigal son story, God created a famine so the son would be in pain. And then he had a job situation that failed for him. But it took all that kind of pain for this, you know, prodigal who obviously had addiction to alcohol and sex, who had to walk back. Now, this kid was in a far-off country. He didn't have a donkey anymore. He barely had any clothes. So for him to walk back, and first he says, you know, I repent to heaven. I sinned against heaven and my Father. So he repented, but then he still had a process to walk back. And that probably took weeks or months. And during that walk back, you have to trust people to feed you. You have to cry out to God for water. You know what I'm saying? So he learned to trust God. He learned to trust others. So by the time he got home, he was actually a different kid.
Wow.
And we don't hear that preached very often either.
No, we don't. You're right.
No, we don't. We don't hear the process of the returning prodigal can be long and arduous. You know, the scripture that talks about, you know, when they are old, right? And sometimes it takes decades. I know parents who've waited 30, 40 years for their son to come back. I have a family member I've watched for over 30 years rebel against God. I'm like, wow. I mean, you were raised in a great Christian home. Like, seriously. But it took 30 years for them to come home.
You know, we could talk about this a long time. And, of course, people can do a deep dive by getting the book and going into it. But, boy, it's really making me think about this in a new way. And I have heard stories about where people just really believe God and they saw their prodigal come back. But, you know, your point is that people have a free will.
Mm-hmm.
But I know a couple of pretty amazing stories that I've heard.
Well, our friend Larry has that story where, you know, his son came back after 30 years, you know, and he's basically, you know, really a vagabond. You know, you and I have mutual friends that we've seen stories, but we also have friends whose their child's still out there 10, 15 years later.
Yeah, and I know a couple people that their prodigal took their own life. You know, either mm-hmm. they were on drugs or they were just depressed or something. I mean,
absolutely.
It's just... But is there stuff in the book that would encourage people maybe to believe God? And
absolutely. You know, you in it. But that's why I really, really, my heart is, yeah, if you want to do this at home, you want to watch the video, do the workbook, that's great. But if you can get a team of people in the same house watching it together, doing it together, and you pray for one another, that's where the healing is. And the other good thing about that is, because here's where the prodigal will set the parents up for contention. The prodigal creates a mess. They get a fine. They trash the car. They get arrested. And they need $1,000, $3,000, $5,000, or whatever it is. And then, you know, the mom's like, oh, we should just help him out. And dad's like, no, he needs to go to jail. He needs to stay in jail, right? So we have different styles of dealing with this, right? And they can get really contentious in the marriage. But if you have a group of people, and you're going to see them on Tuesday and say, hey, listen, our kid's in jail. You know, it's $1,200. We can do it. Should we do it? And then you have the group kind of talk about it. And some guy says, you know what? I will do it. And then he's going to have to pay me back. And then he's going to have to be in a relationship with me. And that's not going to be fun for him. Well, now I got a team helping my son. I got a team praying for my son. I got a team praying for my little girl.
Boy.
And I can tell you, you know, most of the people that listen to us right now, they're filled with the Holy Ghost. Right, if you start praying for somebody for 60 days, 6 months, and you're praying for little Susie, and she's within, you know, the area that you live in, you're going to have a moment where you're going to run into her at Walmart or a grocery store or at a, you know, stop and go or something. And God's going to be able to speak through you because you've been interceding for them. Do you know what I'm saying?
That's right. It's a good point.
And so we can really activate the body of Christ to help bring these prodigals back, but not doing it all by ourselves. You know, the scripture talks about, you know, letting other people have some of your burdens, carry each other's burdens. And sometimes it's hard when the burden is, I feel like I failed as a mom or a dad. I don't know who God is because he's failed me. Well, God hasn't failed you. Your kid has failed you. Your kid has failed himself. God's doing his best to create the circumstances. You know how many people had their prodigals come home because of COVID? Hundreds of thousands of kids moved back home. Now, COVID's not a great thing, but there were a lot of families restored because of it.
Well, it wasn't COVID as much as it was the pandemic and and everything shut down, but it's a very good point.
And so, you know, we see that, you know, God will do all he can do, but he can't bend the human will.
Amen. Well, you know, this is a discussion that you and I have never had before, and as I said, it's really got me thinking, and I want to just share a personal story that I don't remember ever sharing publicly about myself. And then afterward, I want to give you the last word and also encourage people to go out and buy this book and the other resources that are available. But I grew up in a pretty conservative, legalistic, Pentecostal home. Mm-hmm. My home was more a product of the subculture rather than, you know, being particularly legalistic because of my parents. And I went through a rebellious period. I like to say that the last year or two of high school and the first year and a half of college, you know, I was sowing a few wild oats, but the ones I sold were all kind of socially acceptable on a university campus, if you know what I mean. And also, I continued to go to church, and I continued to tithe on the little bit of income I had. I never really turned my back on God, but it was like, I don't know, I just had to. And really, when I came back to God, it was almost, I was concerned that I would go too far. That's kind of how I felt. But here's the story. My mother, who is a real prayer warrior, she's still with us at 93, but she really, really prayed. And she wrote Catherine Kuhlman to pray for her son. Mm-hmm. And she showed me one time a letter from Catherine Kuhlman saying that she was praying for me. And I wish I'd saved that letter. And, you know, I remember it seemed fairly personal, but, you know, sometimes these ministries can really personalize. But, you know, and did Catherine Kuhlman really pray for me or not? I don't really know. But when you were talking about having a group, I guess that was my mother's little group.
Yeah, she reached out. She reached out. And that's what parents need to do. You know, definitely, you know, get the Prodigal Parent Process book and the workbook or a DVD. But then, you know, talk to your pastor and say, Pastor, I will host anybody who has this issue, and we'll just walk through this together. Because if we can come together as a church, that's what the church is supposed to be for. I need your help. Brother, sister, pray with me, but then walk with me. And then if we do this together, I really believe that we could have a revival. If we would just bring the prodigals home to the church, we'd have a revival in America.
You're absolutely right.
You know, if we just got our own children back in the house of God, we would have a revival like never seen before in world history. You know, and this is just on the Father's heart. I can just tell it's on his heart, because every time I talk about it, I almost want to cry. Okay, it's on his heart to bring his children back to his house. And this book helps you walk through that process together as a couple and without hurting each other, which is great.
It's absolutely great. So I just have so much appreciation for you, Dr. Weiss, and thank you for writing this book. And I'm going to encourage my listeners to get the book, talk to your pastor about it, share this podcast with people that you know are going through this, and go on iTunes and subscribe to my podcast. I have just passed 3 million downloads this year. I think we're up to about 11 million since day one. But I just heard recently that one of the best ways to get a higher ranking on YouTube is if people will subscribe. Of course, a lot of people will listen on the Charisma Podcast Network, which is continuing to grow and grow. But I'll just thank my listeners for tuning in to this episode of The Strang Report, and tune in again, and be sure to share it. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joy Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.